Welcome in to the Locked On Nets podcast. On today's episode, it's a solo pod. I'm by myself. I'm not scared, I promise. I'm barely shaking. I'm going to talk about the Brooklyn Nets, specifically their acquisition of Kevin Durant and how Sean Marks went about that. I'll talk about Sarah Kustak being lured by the Los Angeles Clippers. And lastly, I'll break down two fringe signings for Brooklyn, David Nwaba and Henry Ellenson. All that and more coming up on Locked On Nets.
You are Locked On Nets, your daily Brooklyn Nets podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
What's going on? It is Locked On Nets o'clock. That is not an official time, but it is time to get into this podcast, Locked On Nets. As you can tell from this intro, that doesn't really make a ton of sense. Josh isn't here, so I'm starting off the show. He is away for work. So this is a solo pod with just me, Marcus Barrow-Hall, your host for today on Locked On Nets. You can get us in the podcast app, Himalaya, Spotify, wherever you get your podcasts, you can probably get us there. So definitely do that. This is a Brooklyn Nets podcast, obviously, if this is your first time listening. So I'm going to get into a few off-season topics on this edition. I'm going to talk about Kevin Durant and Sean Marks and the recruiting process there. I'm going to talk about Sarah Kustak and the Nets broadcast team as a whole. And later, I'm going to break down some of the Nets low-key signings that they made the last few days, David Nwaba, Henry Ellenson, to a two-way contract. So I'll get into that a little bit later, but first, I want to talk about Kevin Durant. So KD made his announcement, obviously, as Bobby Shmurda would say, about a week ago. Actually, about 2 weeks ago now. Sorry. To Bobby, but yeah, it's been news for a while, and apparently Sean Marks found out the same way that Josh and I did, and that I'm sure everyone listening to this podcast did, which was via Instagram, which is, I thought that was kind of insane, a little funny. Marks was on WFAN yesterday, or 2 days ago if you're listening to this, the day it comes out, and he was basically talking about the recruitment of Durant and the announcement, all that, like leading up to it. And basically, he says that he did not talk to KD, which has kind of been reported throughout the last couple weeks and throughout the process as a whole, that Durant kind of did things on his own and didn't really take any meetings, didn't really have any sit-downs. He just kind of made his decision and then made it public. And I was with a friend of the show, Gavin Shaw, host of Locked On Knicks, earlier today, and we were talking about like just how wild that is, the fact that he made this decision, and the Nets and a few other teams, I guess, kind of had to be in the position where if he came, like, great, we're ready for it, and if he didn't came, you have to have a backup plan. But it seems like even if Marks didn't talk to KD directly, I think that he knew that Kyrie was coming, like, for a little while. That seemed like that was more planned out and more in the works for a long time. And so Kyrie is talking to KD. So even though Marks isn't talking to Durant directly, I think that he probably was talking to him through Kyrie or through Rich Kleiman, maybe Durant's business partner. So while this story is like kind of crazy that they never really talked beforehand, like I do think it's like being a little bit overblown, and I think that they knew he was coming. Like Mark said in that whole thing that they knew that they were getting a teleconference call with him that night, or that they were maybe going to get a meeting, and they had seen the media reports that he had crossed off some teams, but the Nets were not one of those teams that had been crossed off. And so they were thinking they were still in the running, but not positive they were getting him. And then they found out over Instagram. That's like the whole story. I don't know. I just kind of find that hard to believe. I definitely want to get Josh's take on that when he's back, because I feel like there's no way you make the Allen Crabbe trade with the Hawks to clear that much space for the second max slot, unless you either know firsthand, either from talking to KD or to Rich Kleiman, or maybe Kyrie is telling you like, hey, I think we're actually going to get this guy. Bring him in, because the trade doesn't, I mean, don't get me wrong, Torian Prince is a good player, and I think he actually could fit well with the Nets, especially this year with KD out, but I don't think that's a trade that you make, giving up a first-round pick like that, unless you have some kind of intel. Now, granted, there are teams like the New York Knicks that made a similar trade involving Kristaps Porzingis, and maybe they thought that they were getting a guy like Kevin Durant, and they wound up not, and so maybe teams don't always know ahead of time when they make that first move if it's going to lead to anything, but I just find it hard to believe that the Nets made that trade without knowing that they were getting Kevin Durant. And that's kind of like what the whispers have been around the league, that they had some intel for a little bit now that they were at least in like pole position to get KD, which is insane. And yeah, Gavin and I had also talked about the hypothetical of like, I don't know, like what if, like if they like really hadn't been talking, like what if the Nets weren't actually interested in KD and they were like scared of the Achilles or that kind of thing. And like Durant had posted this whole thing on the boardroom only for the Nets to be like, yeah, we're good. Like, actually, we don't want you. So it's just hard to believe that there was no communication beforehand and like that KD would make that kind of post. I think if he hadn't gotten injured, then I think it makes total sense because there's no one on earth who would not sign him to a max contract if he wasn't hurt. And I think 99% of the population would still sign him to a max contract after he got injured. I know Josh and I both fall into that camp. Clearly the Nets fall into that camp, but James Dolan says that he doesn't. For the Knicks, he says that, or at least there's like reports that they wouldn't have offered him the max. So I guess that it is like a slight risk if this is all true and this is not just like posturing or and whatnot, that the Nets didn't actually talk to KD, then that's kind of a bold move to just say like, yeah, I'm going to play here if you haven't actually talked to that team. But I do think they talked is, I guess, my point. So I think for Nets fans that maybe saw this story and were kind of like a little bit taken aback, because I know Josh and I were like, when all these rumors first started happening, like a couple weeks before free agency, we were like, this isn't really like how the Nets have operated the last couple of years. They've kind of kept all their business in-house. They've brought in guys that they've been able to groom themselves. They haven't necessarily gone star chasing. And it seems like it's kind of flipped on a dime. And this would kind of fall into that camp where I think that the Nets are known for having great relationships with players, real open dialogues, that kind of thing. And it just seems far-fetched that they didn't have any kind of communication with KD or his camp, or have some like second party like a Kyrie Irving talking to his camp for them. I just think bottom line is that this Nets organization with Sean Marks and Kenny Atkinson is still, like, they know what they're doing. They're not going to go out and just sign any star willy-nilly. And I think that if any Nets fans were panicking that maybe the Nets are being a little bit too rash now and kind of banking a lot into these two guys that have had injury histories, I think that's true that they're banking a lot on these two guys, but I think that they're doing it with a plan. I think that they wouldn't have signed KD if they didn't feel some kind of confidence in his ability to come back. Sean Marks said as much in that interview on WFAN, just saying that it's going to be up to KD on the timetable of his return, and that he'll have Kenny Atkinson kind of adjust his system to fit these guys in and all that. So I think that they are handling things the right way. And I think that, you know, Knicks fans, I can speak as a neutered Knicks fan at this point, still a Knicks fan though, sorry to our listeners. But I think that Knicks fans are kind of looking to take shots at the Nets at this point, and the Nets organization saying like, oh, they didn't like KD made this decision on his own. It didn't have anything to do with the Nets. And I think that that's just not true at all. And I think that if Brooklyn hadn't played the last year and the last couple years the way that they had, I don't think they would be getting Kevin Durant. So all in all, I think that they have talked. I think that the Nets are in a great spot. And I think that Sean Marks and Kenny Atkinson know what they're doing and will keep leading them to success. So that being said, coming up in the next segment, I will talk about Sarah Kustok and the Nets broadcast team. Segment two, we are back, aka I am back. If you somehow, I don't even know if this is possible, if you're starting at segment two and you missed the first segment, Josh is away for work, so it's just me here, left to kind of spin my wheels for different ways to entertain you here in the Brooklyn Nets offseason in mid to late July, now that free agency is kind of winding down. There were a couple signings that I will talk about in the next segment, and there was almost another signing, not on the court, but on the broadcast side of things, I guess. Sarah Kustok, noted color analyst for the YES broadcast. You know, the Nets kind of have, I would say, the best broadcast team in the NBA and one of the best in all of sports. They have Ian Eagle, of course, Ryan Rucco, former guest on this podcast. You've got Michael Grady, you've got Sarah Kustok, you've got Richard Jefferson added into the fold this past year, Jim Spanarkel, always great, and Sarah has really become one of the key cogs in both the postgame show and the actual broadcast itself. And there were reports on the New York Post over the last couple days about the Los Angeles Clippers making like a big play for Sarah Kustak. You know, they were rumored to be going after Kevin Durant in free agency. They obviously got Kawhi Leonard and traded for Paul George, but apparently they were going after Sarah Kustak as well, and they made her a big offer apparently. But yes, thankfully, matched the contract. You know, they let her negotiate with the Clippers, which I think is the right thing to do, to kind of not just like put your claws into someone and keep them there. I think you have to kind of let them see for themselves what their options are, and then just trust that they'll come back to things. And they eventually came up with a counter proposal. They got a multi-year done to keep Kustak with Yes. And so she's going to remain in the family. And I just wanted to, I guess, take a second to laud the Nets broadcast team. And I mentioned it earlier, Ian Eagle, Ryan Rucco, Richard Jefferson, Jim Smonarco, Michael Grady, Bob Lorenz too, who I don't think I mentioned before. Just a fantastic group that really knows what they're doing. And Yes has like, they've really launched a lot of like other sports broadcasters and like that kind of thing. Like former players like Mark Jackson and Greg Anthony, even someone like Michelle Beadle, who eventually went to ESPN and has kind of taken over as like the non-athlete, non-coach on NBA Countdown for ESPN. So I think that it's clearly a place where talent is welcome and nurtured and kind of brought up the right way. And I think Kustak has been one of the fastest risers, and she's just done a tremendous job of adding things to the Nets broadcast. I think Josh is probably a little bit more like jaded by these things than I am. And I'm probably not quite as enthused as Gavin, the former co-host of this podcast, was when it comes to broadcasting, since that's like what he does for a living. But I don't know. I think that listening to it, you know, growing up as a Mets fan, I've been privileged to listen to Gary, Keith, and Ron on Mets broadcasts, and they've had just a huge impact on me. Even like as a Knicks fan, I think Nets fans can appreciate like Walt Frazier and Mike Breen for the Knicks on MSG. And I think New York sports in general kind of has like a big culture of just iconic, great broadcasters. And Ian Eagle has shown that he can do other sports when it comes to Jets broadcasts that he'll do. Ryan Rucco has done stuff for ESPN, obviously, and was doing a lot of summer league stuff recently. And so I think if you're Sarah Kustak, you kind of see that those guys, and Richard Jefferson too, for that matter, doing stuff with The Jump and other stuff with ESPN. I think if you're Sarah Kustak, you know that Yes is going to be amenable to you continuing to work with them and also doing other stuff if you're interested in that kind of thing. And she's clearly shown that she has great chemistry, especially with Ian Eagle. And I think that she brings a certain like joyfulness to the attitude that I think isn't always there when it's just like, say, RJ and Ian Eagle. Like, that can get a little bit snarky, and I think it's still funny and entertaining, but it just takes on a different tenor, I think, when Sarah's there. It reminds me a lot of when it's just Ian and Jim Spinarkle, but I think Sarah plays a little bit more, not to say that he's not, but she plays a little bit more like intelligently than Spinarkle. I think Jim kind of plays dumb sometimes to make Ian look good, which is like a great, that's like exactly what you want in a partner in like a live broadcast. But I think that Sarah's dynamic with him is its own thing. That's really great. And I just wanted to say also that like Nets fans, I would say just take advantage of this broadcast team and like really try to watch and listen to as many as you can, because I don't know, like when I used to work at the NBA, we'd have to watch feeds of like teams from all around the league. And I can say, as someone that's listened to probably every single broadcast team, if not every team, then most of the teams, like they're not all like this. And the Nets really have something special in this group with Yes. So I think just try to listen to as many as you can. I know that I'm going to try to, this season, try to avoid the away feeds as much as possible. So that's all I wanted to say on that. And coming up, I'm going to talk about a couple of free agent signings that the Nets made in the last few days. Last segment here on Locked On Nets, segment number 3. I just wanted to talk quickly about a few of the signings that the Nets have made in the last couple of days. They signed David Nwaba to a 2-year contract. I'm a big Nwaba fan. He's played, surprisingly, for 3 different teams in just his 3 years in the league. First with the Lakers, then the Bulls, and then last year with the Cleveland Cavaliers. He's not been a starter most of the time. He's only started 37 of his 141 career games, but I think he's been a really useful contributor. He's got a ton of aggression on defense, and And you know, it's 6'4", 218 with a 7-foot wingspan. He's kind of got the thickness as well as the length to defend multiple positions. So I like him a lot. His best year was that year in Chicago. Two seasons ago, he shot about 35% from deep, averaged 8 points and about 5 rebounds per game in just under 24 minutes. So not huge contributions, but again, I think I more like him for his intangibles and the kind of scrappiness and grit that he can bring to a team that has a star in Kyrie Irving. I think Nwaba could be good playing off of a guy like that, or another guy like Spencer Dinwiddie, maybe just like in that off-guard role where maybe he can spot up in the corner for threes, and then on the other end can maybe defend point guards and give those guys a break on defense. So that's Nwaba. The other guy that the Nets signed is Henry Ellenson. They brought him in on a two-way deal. He spent most of his career with the Pistons so far and then had a little bit of time with the Knicks last season. Similar to Nwaba, he's never been a starter, really. He's only started two games in his career. But with Ellenson, he has that ability to space the floor as a big. Last season, he started taking a little bit more threes and was hitting them over 40% for the season. Just two attempts, but still, he was only playing 13.5 minutes per game, so two attempts in that time is actually not that bad. If he, for whatever reason, hopefully he doesn't, but if on the Brooklyn Nets he winds up playing like 30 minutes, that's probably closer to 4 or 5 attempts, and if he could keep those shooting percentages up, that's pretty decent. His rebounding isn't great, it's like fine. He kind of reminds me a little bit of what the Nets had with Alan Williams last year, Big Sauce, not in play style really at all. Williams was more of like a bruiser inside and a dominant rebounder, whereas Ellenson, I think, is more of a finesse guy, but just like a guy who's played in the league and I think carries the sort of cachet where if you're on the opposing team, I don't think that he would be I don't think he would stand out for how bad he was, basically. Like, I don't think Alan Williams or Henry Ellenson is like a rotation player in the NBA. But I also think that they could hang for a couple minutes if need be. And that's really all you want out of a two-way guy. You know, if you happen to get a guy who really pops, then, like, that's great. But that's the spot is more just for injury protection and that kind of thing. And the signing of Ellenson leaves the Nets with one more two-way spot up for grabs that they could offer to someone. There's been rumors that maybe Ron Baker, the former Knick great, former lookalike of the Flint Tropics Will Ferrell character. He did cut off his hair. That was a recent tweet that kind of went around. Ron Baker no longer has the flow that he once had. Shout out to former guest on this podcast, Keith Pompey. That was my first time using flow in real life, and I think it went okay. Let me know if you think I should stop using the word flow, and I will not use it for the rest of this podcast. Just let me know. But back to Ron Baker. Yeah, just from watching him with the Knicks and then that little bit of time I think he was with the Wizards, he's fine. I don't know. I mean, he would be a depth piece, definitely, and he would be a guy. I've talked about on previous podcasts how the Nets have had injury concerns in the backcourt. A guy like Kyrie Irving brings that with him anyway. And then Dinwiddie's missed time at times. LeVert obviously missed a big chunk of last season and has had injury concerns as well. So Ron Baker definitely could just be a body. More than anything else. And similar to Ellenson, he's a guy who wouldn't be out of place playing a couple minutes in an NBA game. Like, I don't think either of them, like I said, is a rotation player, but they're definitely like NBA caliber players, I guess, is what it comes down to. So Ron Baker is a name to keep an eye on in the next few days to see if the Nets sign him. If not, maybe they sign someone from their summer league team, or they get someone who I haven't even mentioned, in which case I would have to do a little bit more research, a little more work for me. So please, Brooklyn Nets, maybe just sign Ron Baker. I've already seen him play. I've already talked about him on this podcast. It would be great if this would be kind of like a premonition for me and a moment where I kind of rise to fame. This is my moment that Shams and Woj have both had, where you break a story. So I'm not reporting this, but if it comes out after the fact that the Nets did sign Ron Baker, I will point to this podcast and pretend that I did. That's going to do it for today's edition, the solo episode of Locked On Nets. It is pouring raining right now outside. I was caught in it a little bit earlier, but thankfully I am dry now. I hope you are too. Considering that this is going up tomorrow, you probably are dry. I don't think it's supposed to rain. This is not a weather podcast, so I'm not going to get too far off track. This is Locked On Nets. I have been your host, Marcus Barahal. You can follow me at Marcus Barahal. You can follow Josh at JMBass underscore on Twitter. The podcast is at Locked On Nets. Follow that for updates from both of us and kind of links to the podcast, that kind of thing. Follow everything Locked On Sports. You can find us on Twitter. I mentioned earlier the podcast app, Spotify, Himalaya, all that good stuff. Look for us. Josh and I will be back later this week with a podcast, probably over the weekend, maybe Friday. We will see. But until then, as Josh would say, be well. And as I would say, bye.